If I had to describe Christmas in one word, I kind of piggybacked on one I heard Becky saying, festive. I always think of like the decorations and everything coming together and the colors, and even if it's snowy, it all feels festive, right? But we can all take different words to define Christmas. And we all may use different words to define different things. Like, I'm a big fan of different word choices, right? Like, I think it's cool. We're going to use, somebody will use a word this way, somebody use another word that way, and it can mean different things. I did find something out this year. Is anybody aware of what the 2023 Oxford Word of the Year is, other than Ryan, because I texted him about this? Anybody know the 2023 Word of the Year by Oxford? Becky got it. Anybody else? Riz. The word Riz. R-I-Z-Z. Anybody familiar with the definition of Riz? Yeah, we got a few. What's that?
It means charisma.
Charisma, yeah, right. Charisma. I feel old when I'm like, I don't know what this is. I text Ryan, he's like, oh yeah, I use it with my high school girls all the time, like talking to him, like, cool, used in a sentence. Yeah. I mean, don't you, though? With their friends? I mean, you know. No. Talk about Riz. Riz. So it's like style or charm. Let's see. That person has a Riz about them. Like, I was looking it up, and Stacey's like, what does this mean? I don't know. But Riz. Riz is the word. So. Yeah, because charisma is too long of a word to use, right, Mark? So. So anyway, words, right? Words. And every year they put out a word of the year. Like Oxford and all these different dictionaries will put out a word of the year. Well, we're talking about singular words when we do our Advent themes, because Advent, the themes are one word each week. And we've done hope and peace. And this week we will talk about joy. So we are in our third week. Many gifts, one package is the title of the series, because I see all of these words really as gifts that we are given in the package of Jesus. So we'll talk about joy this week, we have love next week, and we'll finish up with just talking about Jesus on Christmas Eve. So we've been lighting a candle each week for Advent. We have our two from the previous weeks lit. Let's do the big reveal here to light. There it is, our joy candle. And we are going to talk about joy. So let's start off by kind of defining joy, talking about what does this word maybe mean? Because I would guess many of you probably have different views of the word joy or what it really means. When I just looked it up, they say a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. When happiness gets mentioned, it kind of implies more of an emotion, things that make us feel good, things externally that we feel good or happy about. But it's an emotion, if we talk about happiness, it's an emotion that can change given our circumstances. And it's not a bad thing. Being happy is great. I hope that all of you are happy. I think Jesus is totally great if we're happy. Maybe not his goal for us, but he's fine if we're happy. But joy is different than happiness, because joy isn't determined by outside circumstances or outside factors, because joy is something inside of us. Joy for us is responding to those outside circumstances with inner satisfaction or contentment. How we respond to things is a choice. This is something Stacey and I have been working on a lot with our son, Jeremiah, how you respond to things when you get frustrated, when you get upset, even when you win a game, how you respond, right? It's an attitude that we should strive to make part of our DNA, an attitude of joy. Make it part of us, who we are. And our joy as Christians is found in Jesus. And that's kind of where our definition as Christians might differ from other people's. Because we find our joy in Jesus, not in a feeling, not an emotion, not a circumstance. We find our joy in our Savior and our eternity with him. So I want to look at a few different things this week about joy in Jesus. I want to see that joy is needed, that joy is powerful, that joy is a choice, and finally how we make that joy complete and we really experience that joy. So what I want you to think about today, if there's one kind of thing we remember about joy, it's that joy isn't a fleeting feeling, it's an attitude that we attach to. It's not a fleeting feeling. It's not something we feel, because it's not an emotion, but it's an attitude that we really grab onto and we attach to, this joy in Jesus. So let's look at how joy is needed. We're going to look at Luke 2, verses 8 through 12 to start off with. This will be up here. Behind me, this is part of kind of the traditional Christmas story as told in Luke's gospel. So here's Luke 2, 8 through 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. We'll stop there. So I have angels that appear to the shepherds. Now, shepherds in this time were very low class. They were looked down upon. They were deemed unreliable. Right? They weren't the cream of the crop here. But the angel came to the shepherds first and brings some big old news. He says, a Savior is born to you. Now, it's not only born to the shepherds. It's born for other people. But it includes them. These low-class people, this is for them. Now, if there's some people that probably needed some joy in their lives, it could have been these shepherds at this time. And as we know, as we progress through Jesus' ministry, he was going to elevate those that were lower in class. He was going to kind of flip things on its head. He elevates those that were deemed low. So I love that the shepherds were one of the first people to hear this. Say, joy, a Savior is coming to you. And say, this is the Messiah, the one people have been waiting for, the anointed one, which means coming for special service. There is something special about this Messiah that's coming. And the Messiah will cause great joy. Literally will cause it. Jesus' birth causes joy. Think about something that maybe it's just, man, you do it or you experience it, and there is just joy, right? You feel good on the inside. Remember, inner contentment. I talk a lot about fitness and stuff here when I'm up here because lifting weights and exercise is a big part of my life, right? So I was down in the gym, my home gym, which I refer to as my jungle and my sanctuary, on Monday. Well, Joella was homesick on Monday, so Stacy was home too. So Stacy came down with me. We were going to work out. We have markedly different feelings about working out and exercise. So I'm there, like, I'm getting done with the set, and the music's playing. I'm, like, dancing in between sets. I'm all excited. Like, I'm feeling really good about it, and she's just glaring at me. What are you doing? Why are you the way you are? And I'm like, I don't know. But I get this great sense of inner satisfaction lifting the weights. It feels good. I like it. I enjoy it. It literally causes me to be joyful. May not be for everybody. I understand that. That's fine. But that's what it does for me. Jesus' birth caused joy, and it was needed. We need joy today. We need to find it in Jesus. I need to find it in Jesus, not just lifting weights. That's the point. We think we just need to be happy, right? They talk about this. Are you happy? Are you going to be happy? And being happy is all well and good. Happiness is great, but happiness can change. Joy doesn't have to change because joy is responding with inner contentment and satisfaction again. I think it's almost like the step after peace. If you were with us last week, we talked about peace. And when we talked about inner peace, we said it's kind of the calm inside you in the midst of craziness. So you're calm with that peace. Joy is now, we're content. We're going to be satisfied in the midst of whatever is going on around us. And that sounds good, right? Like being content, being satisfied in the inside sounds really good. But how do we do that when everything around us is kind of nuts? And I think the phrase I use is look up, not down and around. Because down and around is focused on everything that's happening right now, right around us, right? It's there's a line from the old movie Wayne's World that says, live in the now, right? Live right now, just everything that's going on. And we're here, right? Stuff affects us right now, but right now is not our end-all, be-all. Take joy that our life isn't defined by right now, right? I would bet that none of you would say your life is absolutely perfect right now. Maybe. I can't say it 100%. But most of us would say it's not totally perfect. It might be great, but maybe there's some things that we want to be better. Because if we look at the down and around, it's like, well, that part's not quite perfect. That's not where I want it. But when we look up, we can remember that we're defined by our Savior. We're defined by Jesus. Defined by eternity in heaven with Jesus, who is perfect when our lives aren't. All right, now we're not ignoring, as always. We don't ignore what's going on around us. We don't ignore anger or sadness or the feelings or what's going on. We do have to deal with it. But joy is remembering that that's not the end, that there is still more to come. We need that joy, and we need that joy in what's to come with Jesus. So we need joy. I also think joy is powerful. Isaiah 51, verse 11 says, those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. All right, so those that the Lord rescued will return. This is talking about the Israelites that were rescued in Exodus. We just did our series on Exodus. We ended that about a month ago, right? They were enslaved. The Israelites were held captive, and they were freed by God. They were rescued. So they're going to come out of rescue. They're going to sing and praise. They're going to be filled with joy inside. They are great because they've been saved. And it says they'll be crowned with everlasting joy. Think about a crown for a second. Crown usually denotes royalty, right? Kings, queens, princesses, princes. But also the crowns represent power, right? You have a crown that means something. There's strong. There's power in that. And this crown is everlasting, it says. Now, royalty can get overthrown. You can lose the crown. We see that throughout history. But this everlasting crown of joy cannot be overthrown. So it's an everlasting crown of joy. It also says joy will overtake the people. Think about something overtaking you, right? When we hit the complete dog days of winter in January, and it's so cold, you step outside in one of our like negative 45 degree days, and that cold just completely overtakes you, every part of your being, your mind, your body, everything feels it, right? It just takes you over. It's what you feel, what you experience. Joy does that. Joy overtakes, right? It's that powerful. It can overtake everything, and that's what you feel and you experience in every core of you. Joy also makes sorrow and sighing flee. That's what it says. Those things, sorrow, sighing, sadness, they want none of what joy has because joy is stronger. Joy is more powerful than that. Joy has power. When I was thinking about power this week and how to describe it, I'm a big foodie and a cook, so I went to Powerful Foods, and I was actually thinking about spicy peppers. Fascinatingly enough, I was having a text conversation with Griffey, my nephew, about spicy peppers. It was via Lindsay. Lindsay was like the intermediary on this. But at Thanksgiving, Griffey had brought a soup that included jalapenos. Well, he didn't need the rest of the jalapenos, so he gifted them to me. And I used them this week, so I texted Griffey to let him know. Then he was coming back about spicy peppers. Well, I learned this week about the spiciest pepper on record. It is called Pepper X now. And they measure the heat of peppers on what's called the Scoville unit, the Scoville scale. So here's some reference points. A jalapeno, many of you have had a jalapeno. The average rate of this, it averages about 3,000 to 8,000 on that scale. Pepper X, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, which has verified it, measures at 2.6 million on the Scoville scale. That's pretty hot. It was created by this guy named Ed Curry, who works, I think he founded the Puckerbutt Pepper Company, is what it's called. And he tasted this thing. He ate it, and he said he felt the heat in his body for 3.5 hours, horrible cramps, and he said, I was laid out flat on a marble wall for an hour in the rain, just groaning in pain. That's how powerful this pepper was. Why? I don't know, because he could. I had no idea. It makes no sense to just eat it. I think if I put that in my mouth, Jesus would just call me home, be like, nope. It's such a powerful pepper that the creator, this bigwig in peppers, was laid out for in pain for that long. Joy is our Pepper X, okay? That powerful. And I kind of like the idea of joy being powerful because it's one I hadn't thought about before. I don't think power is a word that often gets associated with joy, but I like it because the imagery from that passage of joy overtaking us, sorrow running away, fleeing, right? Sorrow is scared of joy because joy is more powerful than it. That's power. Thinking about making something flee. So put on that power every day. Put on joy every day. And here's the thing. When we put on joy, it doesn't look all bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and glowing because it's not just on the outside of us because joy starts inside your heart. Think about our hearts, right? It pumps blood through the body. It works super hard to do that. Your heart also pumps that spiritual blood, your attitude, your thoughts, your reactions. It all comes from your heart. So let it pump joy. Let the power of joy get all through you. And there will be other things in life that will try to be that powerful. Anger, arrogance, sorrow. They will try. Anger wants to dominate, to control, and to blame things. Arrogance wants to puff you up, say you're better. Maybe you're going to excel at the cost of others. Sorrow wants to tell you you'll always be hurt. Things won't get any better. Things just kind of suck. But those attitudes are based on our experiences right here and now. Joy is based on our eternal experience. It looks up, pushing past the anger, past the arrogance, past the sorrow, and knocking them down because it's stronger than all of them to get to Jesus. Joy is powerful. Joy is also a choice. We choose to have joy. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 through 10. It says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, and beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. So this is Paul writing a letter, his second letter to the Corinthian church here. And Paul had a lot of stuff that's happened to him in his life. But he's saying he's always choosing to rejoice, to express the joy that he has. And this happens no matter the circumstances. Paul has been in prison. Paul's dealt with riots in Ephesus. He's been through a lot of stuff. And then in verse 8 through 10, they kind of put these different opposite things, right? And he's saying he chooses joy in all of them. It starts out, there were people that thought badly of Paul, that thought he was dishonorable. There were people outside of the Corinthian church, even critics within the church that he's helping. That's their human point of view. They have this skewed view of Paul, and it's negative, right? So, but he's got to rejoice and find joy even through that. But there are also people that thought he was good, that he was from God, that his message was pure. He's got to find joy even in the midst of that. Good or bad circumstances, he chooses joy. Some people believe Paul was a false teacher or an imposter. He didn't carry with him a recommendation from anybody talking and verifying who he was. Some felt that took away Paul's validity. This is hard stuff to deal with, right? He's trying his best to work with the church, share Jesus with Gentiles, and people are calling him an imposter or even an agitator or giving him bad reports, yet he still chose joy. Joy that he had in choosing to follow Christ, in choosing to be who God made him to be. He did this in the good circumstances as well, not taking credit for any of the good stuff, not taking joy in himself for being awesome, and Paul was awesome, but choosing joy in Jesus and choosing to have that joy. Joy is a choice. It's an attitude that's chosen. So we choose attitudes. And people have attitudes about everything, right? I remember working a coffee shop, did that for a number of years before my kids were born. And we started to play Christmas music right after Thanksgiving. People have views on Christmas music, let me tell you, about whether they love it or they hate it. So we would start playing it right away. And I remember I'm standing at the counter, and I'd worked there for a while. And it starts off, and there's a woman that comes in the door, hears the Christmas music, and no joke, starts dancing her way up to the counter to Santa Baby, because she loved it. That's how she expressed that attitude. She's dancing. She was great. But then, you can go to the next slide, Becky. There's going to be a picture here. Well, right? So we kind of got, like, the dancers going on. Well, then we had a fella come in, walks in, regular, walks in, kind of, you know, kicks the snow off his shoes, looks up. You can tell he hears the music, and just, he's like, this guy. Not happy about it. Did not. Walks up to the counter and says, really, Jeff, we're doing this? I was like, oh, don't be a Grinch to my Christmas music. Come on. He wasn't happy about it. He had an attitude about it. Now, both of them had attitudes that were chosen. Now, they had feelings inside of them about how they felt about it, but they expressed them differently. Right? One danced up to the counter. The other one looked pretty angry about it. Choosing joy is kind of like metaphorically dancing to the counter. Right? It's having that attitude. Because attitudes are chosen. Regardless of the situation, we choose our attitude. Now, usually it's a negative to say somebody has an attitude, right? You see somebody, oh, they got an attitude. They're a little snippy. They're sharp, right? We see that attitude. But we can't always change what's going on around us, but we can change the attitude inside of us. So I want to look at kind of attitudes in two very different scenarios. First off, when nothing is going right, right? At work, you're like, I'm done. I don't want to deal with any of this anymore. Every email is getting a response of, that sounds like a 2024 problem. I'm done. No. Or at Christmas, there's too many events, too much family time. I don't have enough gifts. I can't get everything decorated. It's too stressful. Your health and wellness, I can't stick to a plan. I don't feel good. I'm hurt. I'm sick. No. In your house, it's like, oh, cool. Didn't have much money anyway. Now my dishwasher went. I got to buy a new one. Everything around you feels like it's not going well. And the attitude easily goes negative, and it makes total sense. Because difficult circumstances lead to a negative attitude naturally. But have the courage and the strength to choose the joy in the midst of that. Choosing joy isn't ignoring the hurt, the struggle, or the grief that you're going through. But it's to know that this isn't it. It's choosing an attitude that looks forward to Jesus. And it's hard. It takes effort and intentionality. What's really hard is it's rarely our default. strive to make it that default when everything is hard. What about when everything is rainbows, butterflies, and white chocolate chips? When it's all great. You're crushing your work goals. Work's great. You're all warm and fuzzy about Christmas. It's like, yeah, the hot chocolate's going. People are singing carols. This is great. You feel good inside. Your health, your wellness, everything is good. Your house looks great. You got all the decorations. But everything's awesome. Still choose joy in Jesus. And I'm not trying to be a buzzkill about it. You can be happy about all this stuff and excited. But the attitude of joy thanks Jesus for what he's done for you. The attitude looks forward to when that stuff is gone, but you still have Jesus. It's not getting a big head about how great things are, but choosing to have a big heart full of joy. So have a heart full of joy. Make the choice to have joy. And then finally, making joy complete and experiencing our joy. John 15, verses 9 through 11 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So Jesus says, remaining in the love of Jesus is what makes joy complete. So Jesus is saying, I remain in my Father, in his love, my joy is complete in the Father. He kept his Father's commands, he obeyed. So Jesus is teaching the disciples, teaching us to do the same thing. Right, to remain in the love of Jesus, to make our joy complete. Jesus did this, we should do it too. And that's how we really experience joy. Right, we all think about different experiences, and we want to experience things. I looked it up, my brother and sister-in-law and their girls love going to Disney, and they always have great experiences at Disney. And I looked it up, Disney actually has a My Disney Experience app, because there's an app for everything, right? They want you to have a great experience, so they created an app to help you to book the theme parks, the sea adventures, the festivals, the golf outings, so much to do at Disney, and they want you to have this great Disney experience. Now, we may not have like an experience joy app other than our Bible app, but we do still want to experience joy to its fullest. And joy is actually one of our five values at Hometown. And we use the verse, John 15, 11, to go with that, making our joy complete, because we want to have it, that inner contentment no matter the circumstances, that power of joy. What we do is remaining in the love of Jesus is how we get there. That's how we experience joy, right? Remaining in Jesus' love, remaining with him. And it sounds great. So let's experience, let's have it, let's take it. And it comes in Jesus. It goes back to kind of our title of the series, the one package, joy is in Jesus. So remain in him. There's a song lyric, I think I quoted it last year, by the rapper KB that says, people don't care if there's Christ in your Christmas, they can't see that there's Christ in the Christian. And I like that part about keeping Christ in the Christian, right? Keep Christ in you all the time, not just in Christmas, right? If you keep Christ in us all the time, he'll be in our Christmas. He'll be in every part of us. So just remain in Jesus every day. And if you want joy and Jesus is the source of joy, then we gotta be with Jesus. Hang out with Jesus. Choose Jesus before going to work, before wrapping the presents, before hitting the gym. Choose to be with Jesus to experience him, to remain in him and experience the joy that only he can bring. Experience joy. And this joy that we want to experience that's powerful, that's needed, is a gift. And it's a gift because it's eternal. It can't be taken away, right? And it can't come from anywhere else. Like our other themes that we're talking about, Jesus gave us this. But he didn't give it to us to like put on the mantle or to put in a case and just stare at it. He wants us to use it, to take it. Because we need it. We need his joy with everything going on around us. And that joy is powerful, and we need the power of that joy. Right? It's not just a nice idea, but it's powerful and makes sorrow and sighing and all this other stuff flee and run away. So use the power of that joy. And choose it. Choose the attitude of joy, no matter what the circumstances that you're in. Right? Whether it's great or rough or the circumstances are somewhere in between, choose that attitude of joy. Choose joy and have it be the attitude that you attach to. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we have joy in you, that we have something that we can keep inside of us, that we can have inner contentment, God, inner satisfaction in the midst of everything going on. God, I really thank you that that joy is eternal, that it's something we don't run out of, it's something we don't lose. And it's something we can look forward to. So I pray, God, that as we continue on in this Christmas season, things get busier with everything going on, I pray that we would remain in you, remain in your love, remain in your joy and have that attitude of joy, that we would focus on that every day, that we wouldn't lose sight of that, that we wouldn't get too stressed or even too overly excited, that we would forget about the joy that you bring. So I pray that you would put that on our hearts every day, that we would spend our time with you every day, that we would choose that attitude of joy every day, God. We thank you for being here with us again this morning. In your name, amen.